Welcome back to Cargumentative, a show where two of four well-spoken men are here to talk about all things cars and automotive related. I'm your host, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times, and today I'm only joined by...
Nadav, I'm here. I'm holding up the fort.
You are indeed.
Standing up for the team.
Yeah, because where is the team? They've abandoned us.
Huh? Completely just flaked out.
Somebody talked about a birthday party.
It was a birthday party. Someone else is hungover.
Again.
Let you decide which one is which.
Strange. Always hungover.
Always hungover. Always hungover.
Maybe because yesterday was a public holiday.
Maybe.
And he thought, or maybe he thought it was Friday and today is Saturday.
Fake Friday. There's so many fake Fridays the last few weeks. It's hard to tell.
Thursday?
Or Thirsty first? Thursdays.
Thirsty Thursday. That's where they've gone.
Well,
First Thursday.
That's true.
That is true.
So we missed them as usual, but we'll try and crack on with a little bit of news.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've also got some special stuff coming up later on in this episode.
Very special episode this.
Yeah, it is.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. But in the news, that Bugatti with a name that I can never pronounce right.
I'm going to try. My French is awful. Mm. You wouldn't think I did 2 years at school, but sure. La Voiture Noire, which is a... The black car. It just sounds so exotic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So that was the Bugatti that was released at the most recent Geneva show.
That's right. We actually talked about it in a previous episode. Yeah.
So the most expensive new car in the world, somewhere between 11 and 16 million euro, depending on which article you seem to read. And then that's obviously based on a Bugatti Chiron that's been... rebodied, I think, into something one-off and unique.
And that's a homage, of course, to the Type 75?
57. 57 SE. That is an absolutely gorgeous car, the 57 SE, but I don't think this one is absolutely gorgeous.
No,
I think
really.
It's splitting opinion. And to be honest, I think the Chiron is gorgeous. It is an absolutely breathtaking car. I don't know that this moves the game on, but it's found a buyer, and that's the news this week.
It has, because everybody was saying, who on earth can afford this kind of a car?
Well,
we all know. He plays with balls, and his name is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Supposedly, allegedly. And so Cristiano Ronaldo, who, by the way, is a well-known Bugatti fan. He's had examples of, I think, every one that's been released recently, from the Veyron to the Veyron Vitesse, Supersport, and now Chiron, etc. Apparently, he's the one who's bought this new £9.5 million, €16 million vehicle.
That's incredible.
For himself.
What do you think he's going to do with it?
Look at it.
Yeah.
Resell it. Who knows?
I don't know.
What a thing.
It is a
thing. But if I could only play with balls as well as...
Yeah, me too. I wish I had the ball skills of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Exactly.
Because then I would be able to afford that.
Also, I'm no soccer fan, so I really probably don't appreciate it enough, what he can do.
I feel like
I also want one of those, but he just plays soccer, so...
Well, maybe we can do something else, like Magic the Gathering or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. We'll keep working on it.
We'll keep working on
Bugatti's it. Bugatti's next special edition.
Yeah.
So what else?
What else? Well, you also told me, there's a car that the purists will like, and Mike and Mark would like, because it's made by Aston Martin.
Ah.
And this is the new, it's not new, but it's the latest Vantage, and it's got a 7-speed manual gearbox.
Really?
Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. So, that's really quite something, I think. In 2019, excuse me, for... a company like Aston Martin to release a new car with a manual gearbox. Okay, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Why is that a big deal? So the big deal is obviously we're catering to the enthusiasts the same way that Porsche does. And Porsche brought back the manual famously. And excuse me, it's become a big deal for car people to save the manual, etc. But what's interesting about the Aston is that there hasn't been a manual with this engine. So this is a Mercedes 4-liter V8 twin-turbo engine from AMG.
Yeah, it's only ever known automatic gearbox.
Only ever been mated to an automatic gearbox. Quite a big engineering exercise to mate it to something like a manual, I'd like to know a little bit more. I'd like to know who makes the gearbox and how they mated it from an electronics point of view. The systems are so integrated these days in cars, gearbox and engine, they're almost hard to split apart. And so I think it's quite a big undertaking. It's probably cost a relatively large amount of money investment. Mm-hmm. But they're doing that to retain that driver appeal. And I think it's a big deal. I think it's going to be a cool car.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, we're basically talking about the Aston Martin Vantage AMR. And it's limited edition. There's only 59 of them.
That's right. I thought that was a strange choice on their part. But I doubt that this drivetrain will disappear now that all the R&D has gone into mating a manual with this engine.
Mm.
I'm fairly sure it's going to pop up somewhere else.
I mean, I found some info here, and it's actually quite interesting, so I'm going to read it out to you. Mm. The Vantage 59 version has a special livery to celebrate the 1959 24 Hours of Le Mans.
Mm.
A special manual transmission inside the car has a dogleg first gear. That's also quite a big deal in 2019.
Very cool.
The car has a limited slip differential that is tuned and calibrated by Aston. The 7-speed manual transmission has AM shift technology that is driver selectable.
What is that, a rev matching type of? Probably.
So going on, the feature uses the clutch, gear position, and prop shaft sensors to mimic heel toe downshifts and match revolution. So exactly that. So instead of you having to heel and toe, the car will do it for you, ensuring smooth downshifts.
Not unprecedented. I think Porsche does it, Nissan does it.
Everybody does it.
Yeah. But that's a cool feature. Hey, a new manual gearbox in 2019. That's a big deal. It's big news for people like us.
It is. It is indeed.
We like Aston Martin here in Cargumentative.
Yeah, we do. We do. I kind of prefer the styling of the older ones, but, you know.
I agree.
What do I know?
I agree.
What do I know? It's been quite a big week for SUVs here in SA.
A big week.
A big week.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us.
Well,
I'm shivering.
The F-Pace. Jaguar F-Pace. They are launching their SVR version of that at the Somerle Hill Climb this weekend.
Mm.
5-liter supercharged V8, 405 kilowatts, 680 newton meters of torque. It's quite a potent machine.
Mm. So I must say that F-Pace SVR appeals to me. Mm. The F-Pace is not quite a full-sized SUV. It isn't the size of a Cayenne or a Q7, for example. It's actually a little bit smaller, although it's not as big, is not as small as a Q5. So it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's like mid-sized. But
that's a lot of power for something that's actually not all that big in modern terms. 405 kilowatts, and 550 horsepower.
It's properly quick. I mean, Jag's saying it'll do 283 k's an hour, so it's not limited, which is cool.
Wow.
And 0 to 100 in 4.3 seconds.
That's properly quick. And something about it appeals to me. I like the look of the thing. I love the sound of the thing. Have a look at it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Harry's Garage. I'm a big fan of Harry
Metcalf. Yes, you are, yeah.
I am. I've mentioned him before. He's done a 20-minute video on 1,000 miles in a F-Pace SVR this week.
Okay, let's
have a look. Listen to that thing. It's amazing.
And it's actually quite well-priced for what it is.
So that's what we were saying.
$1,499,400.
That's like pretty good value for a fully kitted out 405-kilowatt monster of a car. What a cool thing.
It is a cool thing.
Something about it sort of resonates with me. I think it's smallish with a lot of power.
Yeah.
It's a little bit crazy. I like that.
It's cheaper than an I-Pace as well. So instead of buying an I-Pace.
Yeah. It's cheaper than a Range Rover Sport SVR. It's cheaper than a Macan Turbo. It's cheaper than a Cayenne. Pretty aggressively priced. I'd like to check that thing out.
And you know what's cheaper than an F-Pace SVR?
No.
The new BMW X2 M35i, which was just...
I've lost you already.
No.
Sorry.
So,
moving on.
I've always kind of liked the X2. You don't like the X2?
No, I don't know.
Most people are like, oh, it's pointless. But I don't know. It looks... Yeah. I know it's just an X1, but
so
it looks kind of...
There was one of them in front of me the other day. I couldn't tell if it was a Hyundai, a Kia, or a BMW. Mm. It's kind of like...
But that's what BMW
generic
is.
Modern.
Kind of appeal to you.
Not sure. What is it? What's an X2?
So X2 M35i, high performance version, 225 kilowatts, 450 newton meters.
Okay.
0 to 104.9.
Smallish. What does it compete with?
Well, it's basically the same size as an X1. It's like a baby, you know. It's
also very a lot of power for something of that size.
Something so small, yeah. Okay. So
it's not a bad-looking thing.
It's not bad. Look, it's a lot better than the Audi Q2.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's its direct competitor.
What went wrong there with
Audi?
I don't know.
That was awful. Remember when I had it on test?
No.
Don't you?
Or maybe I've locked it out.
Could have been. That was a dreadful car and very expensive as well. Pointless.
Okay. Q2, you don't see them on the roads. I don't think it's quite made the impact they were hoping.
No. Exactly the same as Q. Yeah, I mean, just...
Understood now.
Yeah.
See where it is.
So there's that if you want
So F-Pace SVR, kind of X2 M35i.
And there's another one.
Ooh.
Another SUV in the week that was.
I'm ready.
Audi Q8 is here in SA.
Another MQB Evo derivative from Volkswagen AG. Yeah. Thanks, guys. You can probably stop now.
Yeah.
Although that the Q8 internationally came out before the Cayenne Coupe.
That's great.
Which we haven't discussed.
No.
So that's another derivative of the MQB Evo platform. When will they stop?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they're all the same, these things.
So the Q8 is basically the Cayenne
Coupe.
The Cayenne Coupe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they look quite similar.
They do.
Same idea.
That's kind of quite cool, the Q8. I mean, I don't know if you went to Festival of Motoring last year and they had one on display and you could sit inside. It's got a very cool interior.
Okay.
It's got like Tron lighting and like this Audi MMI Touch kind of infotainment system that blends into the dashboard when the car goes off. It's like being in Tron mixed with Minority Report, where you're swiping and dragging things. It's
all right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You're selling the interior.
Interior is cool.
I'll wait to decide.
Yeah.
Presumably, Audi's sending one to test.
Oh yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah, as we
in
speak,
fact,
they're
going to be arriving.
So we'll let you know.
Yeah. So only one model available now. That's the Q855 TFI. I don't understand this new naming thing with Audi.
I can't. Audi's gone crazy with their naming systems, and now the numbers don't have anything to do with the engines. I don't know what's going on anymore.
I just don't understand where it comes from.
What was the point?
So this basically has a 3-liter six-cylinder turbocharged engine.
Petrol.
Like, petrol.
Okay.
So where does the 55 come in?
I have no idea.
Do they just thumb suck it out of the air?
I don't know how it works. I don't know how the one leads to the other, but it is what it is.
Mm.
And it's kind of like a Lamborghini Urus, but a third of the price?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So great actually value. It's a bargain. Incredible value. What else is in the news? Anything else you picked up?
Can't remember.
Golf 8's been delayed. I know we talked about
you
that
said
last
so.
Week.
Yeah. That's going to cause ripples.
Ripples.
Waves. My God. Golf 8. Golf 7's been around for a while, to be fair.
It has.
It kind of is probably due a replacement. Although, I think everyone thinks that they're so good from the outset that no one really clamors for a new one.
Mm.
So apparently it's been delayed for various electronic...
Yeah, they're updating the technology inside it and, you know, the infotainment systems. And they're also doing some work on some of the engines to make them cleaner.
Okay.
More efficient.
What a strange decision. I wonder what happened in the engineering timeline that had to delay.
Maybe they think they're running behind rivals that are coming out.
Well, sorry, argumentative listeners. The Golf 8 will just have to wait.
Wait.
There we go.
Nice. That's awesome.
I just came up with that right now.
You see, we should do the news together more often.
Yeah.
It's just zany and spontaneous.
Crazy.
And a little bit quirky.
Wow. Just like us.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So is that it for news? I don't think there's anything else.
Okay.
With all these public holidays and, bank holidays.
I think that's a reasonable amount of news. And
it's enough to chew on.
There's enough to chew on, and there's quite a lot coming in this show.
There is indeed.
Tell us.
So we are going to, in our next segment, we're going to be reporting live from the press practice preview event of Monster Jam.
Ah! Monster Jam.
Big trucks. Big monster trucks.
Wheels,
silly names.
V8,
supercharged, ethanol, jumping, leaps.
Exciting.
Yeah. Trucker caps.
Don't think I can make it, but...
well, I will. I'll be there. And Mike and Mark will probably be there as well.
Okay. Looking forward.
Mike will probably be hungover.
Probably.
But I'm sure the smell of ethanol burning will sort him out quick.
Be familiar,
yeah.
Okay.
So...
good.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to be broadcasting live from the FNB Stadium, talking to all the guys and girls behind Monster Jam.
This welcome back to Cogumentative. Guys, we just got to get an exclusive little a taster there of Monster Jam. They were doing some rehearsals for the head-to-head racing events. And, geez, pretty damn loud.
I think first thing is how loud.
I didn't expect
it to carry like it does.
It is insane. Wow. I mean, there are 8 cars out there, and they are just, they rip your eardrums apart.
You got to work at 15 times 8. I mean, it's 1,500 times 8.
Yeah.
It's a serious amount of power.
What is that? I can't do that.
There was also the smell of ethanol.
Which is cool.
Kind of that's what they're burning to make all that power.
Yeah. But, they are impressive machines.
Absolutely. Like, to get that high into the air and to cover that much ground and land.
Yeah.
To put it in context, so they went for about, looked like 20 meters of acceleration. And then they, airborne, it looked like about like, the same distance, about 20 meters.
Yeah.
And, I think they need to sort out the one lane because it definitely looks faster than the other.
Yeah, definitely.
All the winners so far have come from the outside lane, so they have to just...
The other thing is the dirt that they used. You spoke about it earlier, Tom, and you can see how with repetitive jumping, how that would just wear away.
Exactly.
Obviously, it has to be like concrete almost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sand.
It's like
but it's so well stuck together.
Yeah. Because I mean, if it wasn't, it would just go everywhere.
Yeah.
It would probably end up on us.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, those things are.
But I mean, I'm blown away by the power and the sound.
Yeah, the sound is quite.
I didn't expect that at all. How well put together they are.
Yeah, I really hope that we can get up close to these things because.
Well, we're going to
drive.
We have already
requested that we drive, and we have a professional in our midst.
Mm.
Mr. Thomas Bell. Hey, actually, just reminds me. Well done. Well driven from the weekend. Oh, you did quite nicely.
Yeah.
What did you finish?
Well, I won both, but then I got penalised at the end of it.
Of course you did. Cheating again.
For a jump start.
Nah.
not that I benefited on the jump start. Oh, so,
well done, Tom.
Anyway. So, do you reckon we could drive these things?
I think so. I think if we, maybe if Paige, if producer Paige, puts her eyelashes.
No, but do you reckon we have the ability?
Yeah, do you have the ability?
Oh, right.
So the tricky part I can see so far is the rear wheel steering.
Yeah.
So you can steer with both the front and rear axle.
And it looks like they're actually steering more with the rear than I think. But it's quite cool, because if you notice, but they can almost drive a crabbing type of position.
Yeah.
So it almost looks like they're drifting.
It's like a drifting thing. But it's like this uncontrollable, because I think, from things I've seen and read, they're very kind of wayward and have a life of their own. They've got these big, heavy tires kind of flapping. And so you're always on like this fine line of losing control.
And destruction.
And actually, and you know, sort of going straight.
They must, when they break, they must break spectacularly.
Yeah.
Because there's so many bits and pieces.
Exactly.
Like 2 shock absorbers per wheel.
Like on a radio control car. I
grew up looking at, and I always favoured the buggies with the big wheels at the back and the small wheels at the front.
You like the Wild Willy, yeah?
Yeah.
Wild Willy. I had the stadium blitz.
Whatever do you mean about that? actually, fun enough, so there was Vanessa's Lunchbox and Midnight Pumpkin and Wild Willy. But the thing about those cars is that you could drive them like in a wheelie type position.
Totally.
And this is a completely literal translation of the radio control cars.
I think there are people sitting in these cars.
But I'll tell you what the mad thing is that they need so much power to go and recreate what those cool radio control cars did with one little engine.
Absolutely.
No,
it's pretty incredible. I'm blown away.
I am blown away, and I'm going to be more blown away because the freestyle event is coming up soon. So basically, there are two formats here.
So the two
formats head to head, where both trucks are out on the course at the same time, racing against each other, and then there's freestyle, which is where they have like a certain time to go out and do tricks and stunts and impress the judges.
Okay.
And that's where all the crazy stuff
happens. I think not just the judges. I think actually the people here are going to get to vote as well.
They do, and that's the thing. Like with Monster Jam, it gets people in the audience to interact, so you can actually vote on your phone in real time.
Yeah,
the trucks. So that's going to be very cool. But we're going to take another break and go out and see what's happening in the freestyles event, and we'll be back shortly to talk about that.
Okay.
To complete the most amazing and aggressive freestyle ever. difficulty of the tricks, use of all of our obstacles, and of course, utilizing the entire 2-minute duration. So everyone here knows what to do. Are you ready for Monster Jam Freestyle?
Chad Tingler, who drives Megalodon, which is probably one of the coolest looking monster trucks out of them all. I mean, it's like this big, great white shark, snarling, teeth out, really mean.
This is the most appropriate South African car.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I've been getting that. Yeah, I've been getting that a lot.
Yeah, you'll have lots of fans tomorrow. But.
Chad, how are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great, yeah. We just did a little bit of a practice, and the truck felt good. We had to tune a little bit on the motor because of our altitude here, but yeah, it's going to be a great show tomorrow.
How much power do you think it's losing?
I think we usually try to come in here with about 1,400, and we can shift first gear pretty quickly, and I felt like I could almost do the whole race in first gear, so I'm not sure what we're losing quite, because we don't have the meter to be able to figure that out.
Sure.
It's a big difference. We're still going to make some adjustments in the fuel system, and we'll get her dialed
you should
in.
You should be all the way up to 100%, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
And how's the course? I mean, is this quite a small course as Monster Jam goes, or is it?
No, this is a pretty big place. You know, we do a lot of stadiums and overseas things, but in the United States we also do a lot of arenas where we're still on hockey dashers up and doing shows over ice. So being able to come out here and this big a floor and be able to stretch our legs or fans, as you call it, with this thing is great to come out here and do it.
And the livery for your monster truck, is that part of the shop? Where did that come from?
They did a survey like went to shows and handed out pamphlets, with like kids and young kids and stuff alike, and they found it, animals and sharks and those kind of things were one of their top things that they like to see, so they came up with this. And what better fitting, it's a prehistoric fish and one of the largest ever, and now this is one of the largest vehicles you can find, and to be able to race, it's 12,000 pounds, and so a Megalodon was pretty close to that as well, so it's a perfect fit.
So Chad, how many races are you doing a year? How many events do you do a year?
Me personally, I do. I usually do a lot of overseas, so I'm about 9 to 10 in the summertime. Gulf produces well over 100 in a year's time. We're doing shows in Manchester, UK right now. We're also doing shows in the United States. We'll have four shows going on all over the world.
That's just quite a huge franchise, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm looking at the rear diff housing here, and see it's got a brake disc just in front of it. Yeah. That to slow down the prop shaft?
Yeah, it's the best way to slow these vehicles down. We've tried some things like on the wheels. Some people think, you slow the wheels, but you would have to have such a big disc, it would almost have to be as big as a tire in order to get it to slow down, because it's running so fast. That's the best way to stop these vehicles is driveline brakes. And we can stop them running 70 miles an hour and stop them on a dime and make a 90-degree turn.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Physics on these things are what amazes the most. I think
depends so much.
The size of everything and the fact that it all stays together.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Much force and so much power bring this chassis. And it manages to handle it all. It's amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
It's amazing.
So, Chad, I mean, like, in terms of top speed, like, perfect conditions, perfect surface, I mean, how fast can a Monster Jam truck actually get up?
We have clocked these things at our World Finals in Las Vegas when we had those there, and some of they run a radar gun at the end of our straightaway, and they're clocking almost 70 miles an hour sometimes.
Wow.
I think the world record top speed is 80, right at almost like 90, I think. Yeah, and so they get pretty
quick. If that's something I think.
No, it doesn't get there as quick with the tires. It does get there kind of quick, but not like a drag car like you would think. With the tire rotation, and then we have a planetary gear inside the wheel, so it makes it different. But we can change the gearing in this truck from like being underdriven to being overdriven in a matter of maybe 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, that's we take the front plates off of the transfer case and change the gears around, and you can literally run like 6,000 RPMs and go 20 miles an hour and turn around, and you can run 6,000 RPMs and run 70 miles an hour.
Wow, okay.
In a matter
that's
of 5 minutes.
Difference.
Yeah, it's a big
difference. How close are these motors in comparison to the top filler? I mean, how often are you rebuilding them?
Now, some of these motors, I mean, we'll check the valves and things in them, you know, every maybe 5 or 6 races, but some of these motors, for longer than what we run, we have an hour meter on these that actually kind of work off of vibration, and they say within a typical arena setting, which we'll do 4 shows in 1 weekend, that we're only putting about 2 hours on the motor.
Okay.
So, and these things will last almost up to 34 hours.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you're looking at almost a year's time.
That's incredible.
Or better before you really have to tear something down. They're not like the, because of the Hemi motors, they produce such a compression.
Yeah.
They're always beating on the head gaskets. Yep. So, you always have to constantly change the head gaskets or check the nose as well.
So, I suppose you
it's a pretty maintenance-free motor.
What kind of compression are they running?
I'm not sure what we have in these now, because we are running most of the trucks that we're trying to run now, or we're running an EFI system, and a lot of our trucks now are kind of going over to that for EPA, a lot of the buildings, because of emissions inside buildings, different things, and it just drops it way down.
Okay.
A lot of smaller places, you know, we're having that issue, so we're running electronic fuel injection in most all this now. So.
I'm really amazed by how much power they put out and how maintenance-free they are. That's brilliant. And it's testament to the pushrod we have.
Yeah, a lot of our maintenance is mainly in our driveline. We'll do a lot of, we change oil every weekend. That's 12 quarts of oil in it every weekend.
Wow.
That's basically about the main maintenance that you'll do for the motor, is change oil every weekend. But mainly you will nut and bolt this whole entire chassis on the motor down every weekend, after every
event. So you've got a transfer case there.
Yes,
you strip that down, and then the two diffs as well.
Yeah, that's in front of that transfer case. That front gear is where you take that front one off, and there's two gears there, and that's where you can do the quick change.
Okay.
And then that way you can change the gearing in a matter of 5 minutes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's an amazing vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's why the surface is also critical, because the last thing you want to do is have too much grip. Imagine the strain that it would put with so much weight being pulled around you. Imagine it just stop destroying
the planetary. That's what helps a lot. There's a thing we call the planetary gear. That great big hub, like in your four-wheel drive, your axle just comes out and you lock the differential in and just grabs the wheel. This one actually has 3 gears that goes around a center gear.
I'm with you.
So then when the center axle turns, then this turns the wheel around. So these axles are actually taking stress off of it, which helps turn these tires so quickly.
Okay, so it's clever. So it basically starts accelerating them.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the planetary gear.
It's geared on the hub.
Yeah,
and you can change that. Can you change that gear?
No, that doesn't really do anything. Yeah, it helps with the torque. Yeah. Yes, it helps get it going. Yeah, without breaking axles all the time.
That's amazing.
That's very cool.
Yes. Really cool. Well, Chad, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for
joining us. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the time.
Thank you.
Speed, control, presentation of donuts, and of course, our absolute favorite, the wow factor. Coming up next is going to be Steven Sims in Monster Energy.
And we're down here in the makeshift kind of pit lane, and we found a driver, Steve Sims, who's driving the Monster Energy truck. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. So nice to be here.
Fantastic. Cool. Did you ever think you'd be down here in South Africa?
No, not even once. You know, it's been crazy because I've been able to travel all over the world,
yeah,
and to finally be able to come here to a new continent and be the first one, it's been amazing. The fans are loving it too, and that's what makes it even better. You know, we've sold out all three events,
yeah, brilliant,
back to back to back, and that's just unheard of in a fresh market.
Yeah, totally. So how did you get into Monster Trucks? I mean, are you in?
So me, I'm a second generation driver, so I kind of grew up in it. My dad, he's been driving for about 16 years now in the States, so started there. I started working on them, kind of moving them around, and then got my opportunity to drive.
Cool.
And then a couple of years ago, Monster asked me, you know, what I thought about driving theirs, and this has been history.
Brilliant. What do they like to drive? I mean, they seem kind of huge and really
are wheelchairs. Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's crazy that we're able to take such a big machine. You know, it's almost 6 tons, and you could drive it with one hand.
Really?
It's all hydraulic. There's no reason that any one of you couldn't get in there and just. It's easy.
How do you do the rear wheel steering? Is that a separate?
So the way it works is the front two tires work on the steering wheel just like your normal car. And then in our right hands we have a toggle switch.
Oh, I see.
And the toggle switch operates the back tires.
Oh, so that kind of like a trim basis, like similar to like an airplane that you
exactly.
Lock it into position.
Yeah, you know, it kind of helps us maneuver the trucks because they're so long. They have such a long wheelbase that it helps us get around turns a little bit quicker. And they also have this thing called self-centering. So as soon as I let off that switch, the tires go back to center.
Okay.
So it's not like I'm trying to feel where the tires are. They, as soon as I let off, they just shift me back.
Oh, okay, that makes it a lot easier.
And tell me, in terms of revs, like what kind of revs are you doing? I mean, we're trying to wonder whether or not these things are really tuned for low-down torque or if they actually are revving quite high.
They definitely have that torque aspect to them, but, you know, we're getting about 8,200 RPMs out.
Really?
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow, and from a pushrod V8?
Yep.
That's brilliant. That's insane. Wow, that's brilliant. So what capacity are they? You're gonna talk cubic inches. We don't speak that.
Yeah.
You can't tell us.
Oh, no, I know.
Oh, you do.
As long as somebody can convert it, because yeah. I can. It's a 540 cubic inch Chevrolet big block.
It's about 8 liters.
And we run an 871 supercharger on it.
Wow. And you get to change there from being down in Cape Town to Joburg?
Yeah, you know, that's been kind of a guessing game for us.
Sure.
We're at an altitude that we don't normally operate at, even in the United States. So. We all today during practice kind of played with some tuning.
Oh, wow.
Our mechanics are kind of calling because we just did a show in Denver, Colorado, for the first time, and that's a high altitude as well. So we're kind of mixing, matching, trying to get a good data pattern for it, but it's still running good.
Oh, it looks like they're fine.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just we want to make it perfect.
Sure. So we're sitting here in Johannesburg, and right next to us, I don't know if you've noticed those things. Those are actually mine dumps. So that's actually that's soil that's been pulled up from a gold mine and then laid out.
Really?
Do you think you guys could get up that?
Oh yeah, it might take us a little while, but we'll get up there for sure. Yeah, these trucks are incredible. They've taken almost like 35 years of putting together and making this better, making that better to this machine here.
Wow,
and it's literally unbeatable.
They're all the same.
They are. What they are is a set of driver preference. All the same parts, all the same machines, you know, and we all work together to try to make each truck good, in a sense, but then it comes down to drivers.
Okay.
So it's really a driver's test, then it is a truck test.
Okay. So you might change your damper rating and that kind of thing?
Exactly. You know, Becky McDonough in El Toro, she might, you know, like her suspension a little bit softer for racing, whereas I like mine stiff. That way, you know, I don't have a lot of body roll and stuff like that. So it just, it comes down to drivers, really.
So when you guys are landing jumps, I mean, because you go pretty high, like maybe like 20 meters or 15 meters high, I don't know.
Yeah. No, it didn't look about as high.
It didn't look
as high.
They
look about 20 meters long.
No, we're about in the 10 to 12 meter range.
Okay, so when you land it, that must be quite hard on the body. I mean, I'd expect, or I mean, does the car absorb that?
It does, and you know, they have, once again, 30 inches of suspension travel. Sure. So, you know, we're really able to get the maximum out of it.
Yeah. And what breaks on them? What's a weak point? Do they have any weak points?
They do. And it's like through everything, we can find a weak point, and then we make that stronger, and then it breaks something else. And that's why these machines have gotten so much stronger.
Okay. At that point now,
we keep eliminating weak points.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like the stronger you make something, then you find the next weak point. You make that stronger, and it just keeps going through. And it's really helped the evolution of the whole sport.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite part? I mean, do you prefer doing the head-to-head sprint races or
So for me, you know, it's definitely good to get that racing win because that's like head-to-head true competition. But the freestyle is definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
That's the point where we get to get crazy. And, you know, we had the Monster Energy backflip ramp that we try to hit every run. And then, you know, that's a true part of this event that's for the fans.
Sure.
You know, the fans get to actually judge it. So, you know, that. Pretty much, Joe Berg gets to crown their champ.
Yeah, good. What are these things like to backflip? Because it must be scary as hell.
Yeah. No, it is. And, you know, it's come through a long time of, you know, figuring out that ramp.
Yeah.
It's a lot of momentum and consistency to get it to actually flip.
Yeah. And you can't half commit on it yet.
No, you have to completely commit. You got to know that you're hitting it. Like, you can't.
You stay on the gas the whole way through the spin.
Yeah, so what we try to do is try to mimic like a dirt bike. You know, they're probably one of the first motorsports that really started backflipping.
Yeah.
And you'll hear them, they're on the throttle the whole time. And that's with us too. So kind of we just get a good speed going up to it. And as soon as you lose sight of that transition, hold it to the floor.
And then
as soon as you see dirt, because you'd be looking upside down, as soon as you see dirt, you hit the brakes. And it'll actually come down and land.
Cool.
That way you don't land going too fast.
So the first time you do that, I mean, that must be a moment.
It is, yeah. Because it's unlike anything else. It's so abrupt.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going so fast forward and it shoots you backwards.
Yeah.
You know, even further than when you started.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy.
No, that's incredible.
I'm really enjoying being up close to the cars. And I think the cool thing with race cars is that they always look very shiny in pictures and they look from a distance. When you get up close to them, you can see that they really are utilitarian.
Yeah.
You can see, I mean, it's very well liveried, but you can see some of the small nicks and scratches.
Yeah,
and it's great.
It definitely has some battle scars in it. You know, we built these things to tear them up. You know, that's what the fans want to see. We're probably the only motorsport in the world that goes out there knowing that we're going to crash. It's trying to pull out of those crashes with saves, you know, see if we can roll it, get it back on the wheels, and really get this place.
Brilliant. Well, we look forward to watching it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming out. Monster Energy, I hope.
That's right. Steve Simpson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you,
Steve.
Yeah. It's great meeting you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care, man.
And good luck for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Foster's Gore for the Foster Knight Foundation. You can see on the replay what's going on. Nice save with the two wheel. Getting her back now on all odds. Your scores are now locked in.
Your fan score for Foster Knight Foundation is 7.837. Still the score being 9.233.
Welcome back to Kargimetsu. We're in pit lane, and we've now found Kans Jolly.
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm very good. And yourself?
Fabulous.
Enjoying South Africa?
We are. We've had an absolute ball here.
That's
we've
fantastic.
Done all the tourist stuff, yeah. Shark cage diving, safari,
oh, really?
Zip lining. We did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we had a blast.
Not even South Africans.
Yeah, we wanted to do that.
No, cool.
So you're driving probably the most I'd say the most loved of all the cars.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely the prettiest.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, with all the teeth, I mean, I wouldn't say pretty, but
oh, yeah. She's fierce.
She's cool. She's yeah. I'd say pretty fierce.
Yeah, 12 foot tall, 12 foot wide, 12,000 pounds.
Wow.
1,500 horsepower.
Amazing,
huh? Yeah, I mean, a monster truck that has a tongue.
Yeah. Got ears that bled through the ale, a tail that wags.
Oh, really? Does it also wag?
Well, so it's on a spring,
okay.
So it'll okay. cause cool. it to wag. And then okay. the tongue is on a windshield wiper motor. So
oh, really?
You can turn it on.
I just noticed the gear first piece here. So
I can actually look through the left hand and be able to see the front tire. So when you hit a jump, you can actually see where you're at.
Brilliant. Right?
Okay. Yeah, so you don't just look just through the windshield. You'll look through the left hand.
Yeah, everything's happening down there. Yeah.
How much lean angle can you get on these things before they really want to fall?
What do you mean?
I mean, how far will they go over before they really are running the risk of falling over?
Well, we've got on the back, we've got a wheelie bar, so you can actually set the truck back on the wheelie bar and it'll ride across the floor of the back tires. There's a new stunt that everybody's trying, it's a two-wheel skills where that they're call a nose wheelie, they're walking on the front two tires. Yeah, my husband has fully mastered it. I'm still learning how to master it, but I've had a couple awesome wrecks with trying.
I was about to say, I'm sure if it's like a backflip, you can't have a small accident doing that.
Did you know, I've had quite a few front flips off of it.
Really?
How many bodies do you go through in the season of Monster Jam?
It just depends. Like, we've had this body all the last 2 weekends, so the only thing we've got is the hood is ripped up a little bit, which the boys have been fixing, and she's ready to go. It just depends on how many wrecks we actually have. If I can save out of, like, Durbin, I had two amazing saves. I radio back to next year, Chief. I'm like, we're probably going to be upside down in freestyle. Just want you to know this. Like, all my saves and everything, I've already used them up.
And when you flip, does it essentially destroy the body? I mean, is it good for one thing?
Or can you salvage it? Like, I had a front flip a few weeks ago in Hamilton, and the only thing that was wrecked was the back body, because it had actually flipped all the way over, and the only thing that hit was the back of the body.
Wow.
And Hamilton, New Zealand.
Huh?
In New Zealand?
Hamilton, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah, we just finished our U.S. tour, United States, Canada, all over January, February, March, and then I came straight to South Africa.
Sorry, carry on. So you were saying how the flip...
It just depends on how you flip. Like, sometimes you'll flip and you'll hit just a corner, sometimes you'll wreck the whole body, the body will come flying off. That's usually when I call it a naked puppy.
And then the crowd goes puppy mad. The
crowd goes crazy, they love it.
Is this the last of a tour in a while? So,
South Africa, yes.
So you guys going to be looking to go and destroy a couple of bodies?
We're definitely going out there to win. If it happens, okay.
Okay, cool.
And then, Candice, how did you get into Monster Jam?
I actually started racing when I was 8. I ran go-karts, Formula V, Sports 2000, good late models. I was at a show, started talking to the bosses, showed them my portfolio. They flew me to the Great Digger Show for an audition, gave me a job. Now I've been here 13 years, 23 different countries, 35 states in America, 6 continents.
Really? And you still race any other formula?
I haven't. The only thing I race now is go-karts, because I've got a 14-year-old son. So I race go-karts with him, and then we run the Masters.
Very cool.
And I run barrel horses at home, too.
Oh, really?
Race barrel horses,
That's really cool. You do know they're only one horsepower.
I do, but when they've got a mind of their own, it adds a whole element of surprise.
You're amazing.
Thank you. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Okay,
thank you.
Again.
Who's having a good time with us here at Monster Jam?
So not to be fans, if we come back to Johannesburg next year, who's going to buy tickets and see more Mountaineer action? Let me hear you.
Welcome back to Cargumentative. We're in pit lane and we've tracked down Willem van der Walt. Willem, how are you doing?
Good, and you guys?
Good, man. All right. Willem is the local events manager.
Local tour director.
Local tour director. I knew I was going to get it wrong.
Yeah, no worries.
Willem, so I spoke to you before and you told me about the dirt.
Yeah.
And the technology and like everything that goes into sourcing the dirt.
Yeah.
For these events. Will you be able to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure.
It's just so cool, I think.
Yeah. We've been tracking the dirt in since last Sunday.
Okay.
I think under correction, I think it's 114 loads wow. of dirt into the storage, which we call the stockpile.
Okay.
And then moving that 3,000 cubes of dirt over a period of about 12 hours onto the pitch, the stadium pitch, from Thursday night until Friday morning.
So you move the dirt on, but do they form it or?
The international track construction team, they actually form the track according okay. to spec that has been signed off before the show.
Sure.
Each track needs to be exactly the same as the previous track.
Okay.
Both ramps need to be exactly to spec, yeah. so otherwise it compromises the show.
And the sure. consistency of the soil or the sand?
Yeah, the dirt.
The dirt, oh, yeah.
It consists of about 30-70 percent clay, so 70% clay, 30% sand,
okay.
or various particles.
And very specific that has to.
Yeah, so
that needs to be met.
Yeah, so it can ramps. So it can actually make the ramps compaction factor, so they can get the length of the floor compaction factor to disperse the weight over the pitch, so that we don't ruin the grass pitch for any upcoming game.
City, yeah.
Stadiums are very finicky about their grass pitches, rightfully so. I mean, that's what the whole stadium is looking at.
And you told me that you guys had to send quite a few samples of dirt,
yeah.
locally sourced dirt, back to Florida for approval.
Yeah, yeah, we've been in the pre-planning process for about a year. Last year, April, I started with this.
Oh, really?
Doing budgets, feasibility, seats, how many seats we could get in, yeah. tickets, etc.
You must be happy it's sold out.
Very happy.
Yeah.
It means we've got work.
Motorsport staff.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows something like this, you know, the guys. Overseas for the Formula One, they really need to start looking at how
bigger tires.
But how we fill out the stadium.
Yeah.
If you go and talk about it at a Formula One race, it would be about 100,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, this thing's probably the better part of 70,000-80,000.
Yeah, we're just shy of 70,000, 68,000-69,000 people expected
yeah,
tomorrow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, and then we sent off a couple of samples to Florida for them to test, check compaction factors, check. If it actually consists of the right amount of clay and what is the other one? I think silica factors,
silica, yeah.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, yeah.
So they can actually build the ramps and can withstand all the backflips and the tricks and the jumps that the guys are going to do off the ramps.
So from the time that you got the soil into the stadium to completely build ramps that are ready.
12 hours.
It took them 12 hours.
Yeah, for the dirt fairies.
they obviously yeah. use our local equipment, or do they bring in their own?
So all the local equipment was sponsored by Barloworld.
Okay.
Very specific equipment for very specific jobs.
Okay.
They call it feathering. So those guys actually scrape out, they compact the ramps and then they scrape out the curvature okay. according to the spec that it needs to be.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got various machines on here, 938s with special attachments, 906 with special
yeah,
attachments.
Very cool.
But from 5 o'clock last night, we started, 5, 6 o'clock last night, laid all the geotechs on the field, all the plywood, about 3,000 sheets of plywood.
So there's plywood over the pitch?
Yeah, so it's geotechs, which is special fabric so that the grass can still breathe. We do it specifically when the grass is in shadow, so the grass goes to sleep. We cover it with a nice blanket of geotechs,
wow.
spray it with a special... chemical, so it hibernates the grass. Put some plywood on top, put some dirt on top, disperse the weight, and then before 72 hours lapse, we wake the grass up.
And the tow down, how long does it take to take it down?
12 hours.
12 hours.
Brilliant.
Saturday night, 9 o'clock, we start. As soon as we can, get the containers and the ramps and the obstacles off. Then immediately the machines are in, so they start feathering off. From the plywood, the guys lift the plywood, and then before the sun hits, we've got grass again.
And then you're looking for a big hole to fill with the soil.
We actually rented soil. This.
Oh, did you?
We rented this, that's and amazing. Then,
I want to be in that business. Yeah.
I want to rent you soil.
And really? Then, next year we'll look at buying some dirt for the duration and storing it locally.
Oh, these guys are coming back,
Oh, maybe.
Off the record. Well, Willem, thanks so much for joining us in Co-Argumentative. And it's been fantastic chatting to you. And it's just like a mind-blowing event. And I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night. Yeah.
Thanks so much. See you with your earmuffs.
So, guys, it's been a pretty awesome afternoon out here at Monster Jam, just getting behind the scenes, some glimpse of these incredible trucks and the amount of work that goes into preparing the stadium.
I mean,
I came here kind of expecting it to be like a hillbilly,
It's all very technical.
But it's damn cool.
It's polished as hell.
It is.
And,
it's proper. I mean, Americans know how to put on a show.
Absolutely.
And they know how to build a.
Absolutely nothing left to chance.
Yeah, ramp jumping, spectacular.
Tom, are you going to try and sneak off one of the containers?
I think I should.
The question is, which of the cars in the collection are we going to try and put big wheels on?
Well, that's the one. I think we have
The Diablo.
I think the Diablo could work, eh?
But I think we have to sign a property and say, which is our favorite truck?
I like this Monster Mat.
Monster Mat. I like the Charger. I like the fact that it's a car that's like it's really raised up. It's cool.
Jeez, I'm torn. Eh? I'm like torn between Megalodon, Grave Digger, and El Toro Loco.
You gotta choose one, Tom.
Yeah, come on, Tom. You've got this.
Okay, I'm gonna go for Megalodon.
We're gonna choose Zombie for Dub, Team Dub.
Team Dub, because that's his fire.
Exactly.
Sorry you missed out the Dub. This is probably the coolest episode ever. But anyway, guys, thanks so much for joining me. And catch us again next week for another episode of Co-Argumentative.
Ciao. Cheers, guys.